working on this series based on the book of Amos, and I've had numerous, or maybe numerous might be an exaggeration, a number of people tell me they've read through the book of Amos, and well, quite frankly, it's not all that encouraging. And, well, I think it depends on our perspective. There is a lot that God used the prophet Amos to tell his people that could be very discouraging because they weren't exactly living a godly life. And I think one of the reasons we find it discouraging is because we look at the nation we live in, we look at the world we live in, and it's not exactly living in a godly way. And so the words that God spoke to the people in the time of Amos kind of hit home. And one of the things that I love as I read the Gospels and the accounts of the teaching that Jesus did is sometimes we forget that when Jesus opened up Scripture and taught the crowds, that he was doing so out of things like the book of Amos. He didn't have the letters of the Apostle Paul to draw upon to encourage the church. He had what we would call the Old Testament. And one of the reasons that I find so much encouragement out of this short book of Amos, there's two. One is that it's a picture of God calling ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Amos was just a regular guy going about his life, and God says, I have work for you to do. Will you do it? And so we talked about that in the introduction a few weeks ago. And again, this week in the bulletin are the serving ministry team sheets. And we've been collecting those. And here in another week or so, we're going to be going down through those and trying to help plug people in. And I tell people, those aren't a commitment. If you sign into that, you check one of those boxes. That's basically just to begin a conversation. And so you may see an area in that that says, well, I wonder what that's about. And so go ahead and check that box. There's a basket on the table in the foyer that you can put those in. But again, these are simply to begin that conversation. How would God have you as an ordinary person do extraordinary things here at Deer Run? We're going to look at this character, this book written by the prophet Amos, and see how it applies to us. And as we looked at last week, we discovered that one of the messages God has for his people is that sin is always overpriced. That even when it looks like, even when it feels like, even when the world tells you it's a bargain, it is not. And so when we recognize that sin is always overpriced, the next step that Amos wants to make us be aware of is there's a solution. And that's why I think that the book of Amos is not nearly as discouraging as it might appear at first glance. Because while it's filled with warning, while it's filled with bad news for those who continue to disobey God, it's consistently filled with hope. It's filled with solutions. It's filled with help. 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9 says, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. That was the message of Amos, specifically in chapter 5. And that's the time to repent is now. I think so many times we get lost in life. We wander. We find ourselves at a roadblock, at a stumbling point, and we wonder how in the world we're ever going to get out of it. The good news is God is not only a God that allows us to change direction, he's a God that provides the new direction. We're not left on our own to figure it out. He gives us his Spirit. He gives us his help. You see, the story of Amos is not only about God calling ordinary people to do extraordinary things. It is also about God calling his people to return, to come home, to be back into fellowship with one another, but to be back into fellowship with God. You see, the way of returning always requires that we change direction. It's this change of the direction that the Bible calls repentance. This morning, I want us to look at three things. That when God's word convicts us and calls us for repentance, the best response is to repent now. When we realize that our current path is taking us away from God, when we realize our current path is taking us down a road of destruction, it ought to be common sense that says, if I continue this, it will not end well. That if that is where this path of life is leading, I must change direction. I must change the path that I'm on. And so many times we fail to change because we become comfortable. I've heard, and I forgot to look it up to see if there really is a sign, but at one point in the settling of the West, that as the wagon train tracks would begin from what was then eastern United States and start heading west, there was supposedly a sign that said, choose your rut carefully, you'll be in it the next 1,000 miles. And as we just returned from some of the western states and exploring and seeing how deeply some of these ruts in the roads and paths have been dug over the years, I wonder about the ruts in our own life. Sometimes it feels like it's impossible to change, it's impossible to turn, it's impossible to do anything but to just keep moving because the ruts are so deep. But God wants us to know that it's possible to repent, to change direction, to live a new life. The first thing that I think God wants us to know when he calls us to repent now is that we must repent noticeably. Repentance is going to be visible. It's going to look different than what it was. Amos chapter 5, beginning at verse 4, says, this is what the Lord says to the house of Israel. Seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba. For Gilgal will surely go into exile, and Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, or he will sweep through the house of Joseph like a fire. It will devour, and Bethel will have no one to quench it. Throughout the first four chapters of the book of Amos, and then scattered throughout chapter 5, are all of these condemnations on the people of that day. First off, on the people of the nations surrounding Israel, and then upon the people of Israel and Judah, those who claim to be God's people. And Amos comes along and says, it's time to change the way things look. You're going about the motions, but your heart isn't in it. You want to pretend to go to these places of worship, but you're not worshiping God. And so he says that your repentance must be noticeable, it must be visible, it must show a change of heart, a change of life, a change of the way you're doing things. When our repentance is not noticeable, we become, as he talked about the people of Israel, we become swept away like the flood. We're caught up in the stuff of life. And I think for many times as Christians, when we become trapped in those patterns of life that are not godly, it's those ruts of life that kind of carry us along with no hope of escape. I think about all of the warnings that take place at various times along Lake Michigan about rip currents. and how you get caught in that and you fight against it is actually one of the worst things you can do, because you end up losing. But what they tell me, at least, is that your best course of action, number one, is not to get in to begin with when the red flags are flying. But if you're caught in the middle of that, is to change your direction. To go perpendicular to it rather than fight against it. So that you can get out of it and then return home. And when we think about repenting now, we think about repenting in a way that's noticeable. I'm no longer in the midst of it. I've turned away from it. I'm no longer being swept away by the sins of my life, by the deceitfulness of life, by the what the Bible would call the deceitfulness of riches. You see, our repentance ought to be noticeable to God. It ought to be noticeable to those that are around us. And yeah, there will be people that think, something weird has happened. Why don't you do this anymore? And the good news is it gives us opportunity as we repent to share the good news of Jesus. I don't do it anymore because it was taking me in the wrong direction. And my desire is I want to live a godly life. I want to live a life that honors Jesus. And to do that, I had to change. I had to become different. There's times that it will mean not going to certain places anymore, because we just can't deal with it. We need to change perpendicularly to what we were doing so we can get out of it. And we live life and we allow greed to creep in. We allow prejudice to creep in. We allow lust to creep in. We allow a lot of things to creep in and we get swept away by it. And Amos comes along and says, no longer. Keep doing the things you've been doing. But repent in a way that's noticeable. You might ask, well, how do I do that? How do I know what's noticeable and what's not? Well, what are people paying attention to? One of the things that I think will be the greatest noticeable act that we can do is simply to repent obediently. Again, we tend to celebrate independence here in the United States because it has done great things for us as a nation. But one of the downsides of the independence that we often celebrate is we don't like the idea of obedience all that much. Oh, you can't tell me what to do. I live my own life. I don't like that law. I'm not going to follow it. And when we repent obediently, we change and become different than the world. And our repentance is noticeable because we're obeying God. And God's ways are, well, he says, they're higher, they're purer, they're more noble than the ways of the world. Down into verses 14, beginning at 14 of Amos 5. God speaks through Amos and says, seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, catch this, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good, maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps then the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. We learn to repent now, and we learn to repent obediently to God's word, to do the things that he says, not just provide lip service. The people of Israel in the days of Amos were really good at claiming relationship with God. They were really good at shouting to the nations that we are God's people, so we're protected. I don't know about you, but I've heard people make those same statements and claims about the nation that we live in. But are we? Are we obeying God? Are we living as obedient children, or are we simply claiming the name of God as some sense of protection but not really living under that protection. Amos comes along and tells the people that your actions have to match your words. When we repent, when we realize the need to change the direction that we're living in, it's not just that we change to any old direction. It's changing into the correct direction, the obedient direction. If God's over here and I'm heading this way and I decide, well, I need to change direction and I go this way, I'm still not any better off than what I was when I began. And so when we repent in a way that's noticeable. We repent in a way that's obedient to God's word. We join with the psalmist as he cries out for God's word to be that lamp, to be that light that guides him, that illuminates the very path that he's walking on. How often in life do we need that path illuminated? We're living in a world of confusion. The prince of this world is the author of confusion. And there are so many sources sounding around us that tell us this is the way you ought to go. I think of another prophet that spoke. And it talked about listening to God, about obeying God. He says, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And we know the right way when we learn to listen to God. We talked in Sunday school class this morning about living a life that's been made alive in Christ. And we grow in that the more that we know God, the more that we spend time learning who God is, the more that we spend time with God. We do that through His Word, through prayer, through fellowship with one another. We encourage, we strengthen, we build up one another so that together we grow. We mature into the headship of Christ, the one who is in charge. And so it isn't simply a matter of repenting, of saying, I don't like the direction I'm headed, I'm going to pick a new direction. It's a matter of repenting obediently. It says, the direction I choose is God's direction. And it doesn't matter whether the world says this way is a good way or this way is a bad way. What matters is what does God say? And the message of Amos to the people of Israel is the same as the message of God to us today. Will you obey and have a real relationship, or will you just claim to walk with God? We repent now. When we repent noticeably. We repent now when we repent obediently. But when we do that, when we do things God's way, we find that our repentance is not only noticeable and obedient, but is also worshipful. And so our repentance is not a matter of punishment. It's not a matter of disgrace. It's an element that brings us to genuine worship of God. And so many times I think we get in our mind, if people don't know, then I'm good. And if God doesn't know, then I can come and worship and everything's cool. There's some problems with that. Number one, it isn't biblical. But number two, God knows. And so it's in that process of repentance that brings us, returns us, strengthens us in a right relationship with God. And most of the time when God's Spirit brings conviction into my life, until I reach that point of repentance, my worship is pretty weak because I'm trying to distance myself from God. See, repentance isn't about punishment. It isn't about chastising us. It's about restoring us to God. And I think so many times we hear that message of repentance, we hear that need to change, and we think, God doesn't like me all that much. And we feel ashamed and we feel guilty, and instead of drawing near to God to be cleansed of our sins, to be made righteous in Christ, we take a few steps back and we take a few steps more, and we begin to forget God's love, His mercy, His grace, which He poured out on us, which He used to make us alive to begin with. And so the message of repentance really is, to me, a positive message. It's an encouraging message. It's a message of hope. It's a message that says, God loves you. He doesn't want you struggling any more than you want to struggle. As a matter of fact, He probably wants that for you even less than you do. I think of the conversion of Saul to become the Apostle Paul. And when he encounters Jesus on the road to Damascus, there's that voice that says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against this? And the message was a message of repentance. It was a message to change the way you live life. In a way that's very noticeable, in a way that's very obedient, in a way that is very worshipful. And the message of repentance is a message that says God wants you. It's a message that says it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, how you live. God loves you. He has the power, the desire, the ability to help you change direction. It isn't easy most of the time. I'm not trying to soft sell you something. Do any bait and switch type of tactic here. It takes work on our part. It takes self-discipline. It takes self-control. It takes patience. It takes God's Spirit. You know, those things that we think we're lacking in that keep us stuck in the rut that we're living. God says the fruit of His Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are things that are powerful in helping us change the direction that we're living in. And it takes work. He says we really can't do it by ourselves. We need God's help. We need His Spirit. We need one another. He says the body of Christ grows and matures as each member does its part. He doesn't say as each member that has a part does what they're supposed to do. He simply says as each one does its part, indicating that each one has a part. And we grow as we lean on one another, as we're honest with one another. But most importantly, we grow as we lean on God and we're honest with Him. As we come to a time of decision this morning, I think many times we hear a message about repentance and we immediately think of somebody else. That person's lit. Oh man, you don't know what they've done. They needed to hear this message, preacher. What about those people over there that they need to change? Well, they may need to hear it. I don't know who's in your mind. But I believe God has brought us together. He has given us His Word so that it would benefit every one of us. And so the message of repentance isn't simply for those people over there. It's a message for God's children. That's who Amos gave it to. That first verse that I read, Amos 5:4, I believe, says this was the word of the Lord to Israel. Those who said that they were walking with God. And his word is repent now. Change direction so that you're walking in step with God. And so if you're here this morning, if you're watching this online, listening at some other point in time, my encouragement for every person is that we would look at ourselves. Spend time with God asking, what do I need to change? What do I need to change that's noticeable? What do I need to change so I'm more obedient? What do I need to change so that I'm more free to worship God? I don't know what your answer is. But I suspect every one of us has an answer that says, I want to walk with God more closely. So I'm going to repent now. If you need help with that, I'd love to sit down and talk with you. I'm going to have a time of decision, and you can join me in the room over here to my left, and we can begin that conversation. For many, it will probably be a conversation you simply need to have on your own with God. I pray that you have that conversation and that you listen. Whatever it is, know that God loves to use broken people because that's all he has. And regardless of how broken that you feel, how broken that you've been, how broken that you are, God wants to restore you as you repent, as you change direction, as you seek him with a whole heart. If you have a decision that you need to make, I pray that you make it before you leave today. And if you need to talk with someone, you're welcome to come as we stand and as we sing.